I hope that all of us are seeking to follow Jesus and to listen to his voice. He's calling us out from the world. He's calling for us to be separate from the world, to come out of the world and to be separate. I was somewhat shocked this last week to see on my phone that Tom Brady had unretired from football. Separate himself from the game that he loved. You and I have been called by God to separate ourselves from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord." Now, that is a problem for a lot of Christians, because we have stepped out of the world. But it's so easy for us to step back into the world. And Satan is right there wanting to help that to happen. He is tempting us. He is luring us. He is enticing us back into the world. And just like Tom Brady has stepped back into football, it's so easy for us, if we are not armed with Jesus and his Holy Spirit, it's so easy for us to step right back into the world and to fall into the devil's schemes. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to help us in this spiritual battle that we are in. He said to his disciples, "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Helper has come. And of course, the Helper is the Holy Spirit, and he has chosen to make his home in our heart. If we've given our life to Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. I mentioned to you last Sunday, the Holy Spirit is so multifunctional for us. He comforts us, he counsels us, he convicts us. And specifically last Sunday, we talked about the fact how the Holy Spirit convicts the believer as well as the unbeliever, always with the hope of drawing us into a deeper relationship with the Savior. Today, I want to talk with you about the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us. The Holy Spirit empowers us in two areas. First of all, he empowers us to overcome sin and temptation. The battle that we are in is a spiritual battle. And our foe is a supernatural power. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but rather against the powers, against the rulers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, I understand that's a lot of words put together in one sentence, but what the bottom line of that verse is the fact that our foe is the devil. Our enemy is the devil, and he is a supernatural enemy with supernatural power. And if we are going to stand against him, we are going to need supernatural help. And there is only one that I know of who can stand toe-to-toe with the devil and win, and that is Jesus. Jesus wants to be our helper through the Holy Spirit. And he has given the Spirit to everyone who has put their faith in him. And the Holy Spirit can help us win this battle. He has power and authority over the evil one. I mentioned to you Tom Brady a few moments ago. If you were paying attention to the postseason NFL football games a couple of months ago, you might remember that Tom Brady received his first unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in his entire career. Now, I want you to think about that. That's quite a feat for a fella who has been in the league for 46 years. Or at least it seems like he's been there that long. But think about this. Tom Brady is, I think, undeniably the greatest football player of all time. And certainly on that day, on that field, he was the most influential person on that football field. And yet he got put in his place by some unnamed, unknown referee. Tom Brady had to submit to that fella. And I wonder, how's that happen? It's because the fella in the zebra-striped shirt has the authority of the NFL behind him. And I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. Our enemy, the devil, he may be stronger than us individually, but we are blessed to have the authority of Jesus living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. We have this helper, this one who can empower us to stand against the devil, and we can win against him if we listen to him and follow his lead. We need to let the Spirit fight this battle for us. He has the authority. We can't win on our own. We don't have the authority within ourselves to fight the devil, but we have his authority inside of us. And as we lean into him, we can win this battle against the enemy. Greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. Amen? That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We need the Holy Spirit desperately if we want to win this battle against the evil one. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. This is from the New International Version. It says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Now, let those words sink in for a moment. I say, walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Rather, I lost my place here, 16 and 17. "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." We could summarize that passage of Scripture with this heading: the flesh versus the Spirit. There is tension going on. There is a war going on between the flesh and the Spirit. And it's through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us that we win this war. I'll highlight verse 16 again. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And then there's one other verse I want to call to your attention. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. It says this: "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." It's pretty clear. It's by the Spirit of God that we put to death the deeds of the body. He empowers us in our battle against sin and temptation. I find it interesting that before Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, He was led by the Spirit into that wilderness, according to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was not entering that battle by himself. He had the Spirit inside of him and going before him. And keep in mind, too, that Jesus, he had been fasting and praying for 40 days. You could say it this way, he was all prayed up. And every time Satan presented a temptation before him, what did he do? He quoted Scripture back to the devil. He had the Word of God as his sword against the evil one. And I'm thinking, that is a threesome that is so important when you and I are thinking about this battle against Satan that we are in. When we have the Spirit inside of us, and we have the Word of God as the sword before us, and we have spent time in the prayer closet with Jesus, this is a battle that we can win. If you're trying to fight the devil without all of that arsenal, then you are going to be fighting a losing battle. You try to face him on your own, you're going to fight a losing battle. But you face the enemy with the Spirit inside of you and the Word of God and prayer, that is a winning formula. A while back, I was listening to a sermon by a friend of mine who is a professor at Ozark Christian College. His name is Damian Spickerite. Some of you may know Damian. And in this particular sermon, Damian told a story about a couple named John and Marcia Relier. And that immediately caught my attention as I was hearing this sermon, and I heard those names. They're names that were in my past, and I grabbed hold of them. John lived right across the hall from me my freshman year of college at Ozark Christian. And I can't say I was a good friend of his, not even a close friend, not much more than an acquaintance of John. I remember him being very intelligent and very studious, and I'm thinking that's probably the reason that we weren't real close. You know, I was never accused of either one of those things. But John was a smart fella, and it had his head in the books a lot. And I remember him graduating from Ozark, and he and his wife moved off to Papua New Guinea, and he became a translator of God's Word for a people in that country who had no Bible. And he worked on that translation project for more than 20 years. And as Damian was telling this story, he told of the time that the translation project of the New Testament was finally completed. And the New Testaments were printed, and the day came that they were going to hand out Bibles to these people for the very first time. Think about this. No Bible in your language up until this time, and it's going to be this day that the Bible, the Word of God, is handed to you in your own language. And these people were really, really excited. And the Bibles were in boxes in the back of a truck, and there was a long line of people standing, waiting to receive their free copy of God's Word. And one fellow, John particularly remembered, he stretched out his hand for a Bible, but he said these words to John, "I have to be honest, I have no intention of reading your book." And John said, "What?" The man said, "I don't intend to read your book. I'm going to smoke your book." And again, John wasn't sure what he was trying to say. And so they talked, and then it became clear what the man meant. The man rolled his own cigarettes. Smoking paper was very expensive for him. And so it was his intention to take this free Bible that had very thin pages in it, and these pages were excellent for rolling tobacco, and that was going to be his use for this Bible. And before John gave him the Bible, he said, I want to make a deal with you. He said, I'll give you a book, but you have to read the page before you smoke it. And so the man said, okay, I'll do that. I'll read the page before I smoke it. And years went by, and John had not seen this man since that day. But one day, John was preaching in a church. And in the audience, he noticed this man. This man, he remembered him. And he couldn't wait to talk to him after the service. He made a beeline for him after the service. And he said, you got to tell me your story. What has happened in your life? And the man said, well, I smoked Matthew. And I smoked Mark. And I smoked Luke. And then I started smoking John. And when I got to John 3:16 and read that God loved me so much that he gave his son to die for me, I couldn't smoke any longer. And this man at that point had given his life to Jesus, and along with his life, he gave to Jesus his addiction to tobacco. And I just want you to know, there is no sin, there is no temptation that we cannot overcome if the Holy Spirit is inside of us and the Word of God is being used as our sword against the enemy. We are fighting a winnable battle because of him who is living inside of us. And the Spirit loves to use the Word of God to help us put the devil on the run. I wonder, is there anybody here struggling with worry? The Holy Spirit wants to arm you with the Word of God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which says, be anxious for nothing. One of the translations says, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you quote that passage to the devil in the face of temptation, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to run in the other direction, and he'll take his temptation of worry with him. I wonder, anybody here tempted to be bitter? Maybe somebody's crossed you, somebody's hurt you, somebody's done you wrong, and you're tempted, you are really tempted to go down that road of bitterness towards that person. The Holy Spirit wants to arm you with Hebrews 12:15 that says, see to it that no one falls short of the glory and the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it many be defiled. If you quote that scripture to the devil in the face of temptation, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to run in the other direction, and he'll take that temptation with him. Anybody here tempted with pornography? Anybody here battling pornography? The Holy Spirit wants to arm you with Colossians 3:2, which says, set your mind on things above and not on the things that are on earth. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are of good repute, let your mind dwell on these things. If we arm ourselves with the Word of God, and we quote the scripture back to the devil when he's tempting us, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to turn and run, and he will take the temptation with him. We're fighting a winnable battle, folks. because we have Jesus living inside of us through the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of God as our sword, and we have the prayer closet that we can go into and be armed with the power of God. There is no temptation given to you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape that you may be also able to endure. The Holy Spirit who is in us is greater than the one who is tempting us. We just need to rely on Him. We need to listen to Him. The question is, will we listen to Him? Will we submit to Him? There is no addiction that He can't help you with. There is no sin that He can't help you overcome it. Have you ever heard of Miles McPherson? He played 4 years in the NFL back in the 1980s. This is his picture. He played for the San Diego Chargers. In the second year of his pro career, he developed a cocaine addiction that led him into a tailspin, both in his career and his life. I mean, from the very, I read his story, his testimony, from the very first time that he took that cocaine, he was addicted to it. His several on the team, they were the ones who got him in that direction. But there was one fellow on the team who was a Christian, and he knew what Miles McPherson was going through. And he went to him one evening and said, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" And he told him about Jesus, and Miles McPherson just kind of shrugged it off. He didn't need Jesus. He's tough. He plays in the NFL, and he was thinking in his mind, you know, the time comes that I want to stop this habit, I'll just stop it. Well, he couldn't stop it. It was wrecking his life. He finally came to the conclusion that he needed help beyond what he had within himself, and he reached out to Jesus. He accepted Jesus as his Savior, and it was a miracle for him. He tells it in his testimony. God just took the desire for cocaine away from him in one day. It doesn't usually happen that way, but it did for Miles McPherson. He quit his cocaine habit. And after 4 years in the NFL, he felt God leading him in a different direction. He felt God leading him into full-time ministry. And he took a position as a youth minister at a church in San Diego. Later, he started a church in San Diego where he is still the senior minister of that church. And as I was reading his story, I'm thinking, wow, it's called Rock Church. There are over 18,000 people come go to that church every Sunday. And I'm thinking, can God change a life when that life is surrendered to Jesus? You bet He can. Because the Holy Spirit can come and take up residence inside of that person's heart and change them drastically from the darkness to the light. He is all powerful, and He can help you. He can help each of us in our battle against temptation and sin. What is it that the Holy Spirit can do for us? He can empower us in our battle against temptation and sin. Let me give to you a second area that the Holy Spirit empowers us in. He empowers us in our witness for Jesus. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. He's getting ready to ascend into heaven. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit gives us power in our witnessing. And that's evident as you read through the whole book of Acts. You see Holy Spirit-empowered disciples standing up and preaching the good news of Jesus. Keep in mind, these are the same fellows who just a few weeks earlier were so weak. And they were so afraid. And when Jesus was crucified, they were scattered like sheep. And they were hiding out in the upper room. They were afraid the same destiny that was Jesus' destiny was going to be their destiny. They were so afraid. But after the resurrection and the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling them, they became powerful witnesses for Jesus. And He can do the same for you and me if we'll make ourselves available to Him. I wonder, is anyone here apprehensive about witnessing? You might say, no, I'm not apprehensive about witnessing. I'm scared to death to witness. I've got good news for you. The Holy Spirit can help you with that issue in your life. He wants to fill you up with His power. He wants to help you have boldness to speak up about Jesus. The church needs more witnesses. The world needs more witnesses. We need people with boldness to speak up and share their testimony and tell others what Jesus has done for them. I would almost bet you've been in on a conversation like this. I've had several people ask me over the last few weeks if what's happening on the other side of the world in Ukraine and Russia, they're saying, is this the beginning of the end of the world? I think a lot of folks are wondering that. And I'll tell you my answer to that question as it has been asked of me. My answer is simply this. I don't know if it is or not, but it ought to move us towards a deeper relationship and readiness for Jesus' return, because I think it's on the horizon. And if you're one who has never surrendered your life to Jesus, you really ought to be running down this aisle at the invitation time to say yes to Him and to be baptized into Him. What a tragedy it would be for you if Jesus were to come back and you not be ready for Him. And what a tragedy, too, if we have friends and loved ones who are not saved and we haven't told them about the saving grace of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will give you the boldness that you need if you will dedicate yourself to Him, to being His vessel, to being His mouthpiece. Jesus says, I'm giving the Holy Spirit to you, and He will help you remember everything that I have taught you. It's one of His jobs as He empowers us for witnessing, to help us remember and to know what to say. I said to you last week, maybe we haven't had the filling of the Holy Spirit because we haven't asked for it. As we sing this morning, I'm just going to ask you, If you would ask Jesus to fill you up with His Holy Spirit, that you would empty yourself of self so that the Holy Spirit can move in and take up full residency in your heart and in your life. I want to encourage you to pray that prayer. Dear Holy Spirit, you talk straight to Him and you say, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you fill me up with yourself and help me to be empty of myself? We need His power in our lives. And when He comes inside of us, He brings His power with Him. Let's pray together. Lord, as we pray together today, and we ask for Your filling, I know that You hear those prayers. Would You fill us anew, Holy Spirit? Would You fill us with Your power and Your boldness? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.